in a few years, these kids won't care about you. These people care about you right now, and you bring them happiness right now. Nothing lasts forever. In 10 years, these kids might not care about you. You might have no fans, and you'll wish this was your life, and you'll wish that you were kind to every kid that enjoyed your work.
Welcome to Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff, where we interview newsmakers, storytellers, and all-around interesting people. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving, and enjoy the show. Here's Jackson.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jackson Huff. This is Not in a Huff. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, really appreciate it. This week, another really, really amazing guest. Another guest from my childhood, slightly later than the last. When I'm talking to someone from the show All That, I spoke with Lori Beth Denberg almost 2 years ago now. She was from that original cast. We talk all about kind of the creation of All That, which, if you don't know, was on Nickelodeon. It was kind of the kids' version of Saturday Night Live, sketch comedy, that type of thing. I kind of grew up with Lori Beth. You know, I grew up in the the mid-90s, so that was kind of Lori Beth's time. And then they got a few different casts, and just like Saturday Night Live, they replace people, and people leave for bigger and better things. I say all that to say I'm speaking with Lisa Foyles today. She was a part of a little bit later of a cast, but I still certainly remember watching her on the show as well. I'm going to talk all about her time on All That. She had a really great time. You know, there's a lot out there with people that, didn't. We don't really get too much into that. We do address it very briefly, but mostly we talk about just the amazing experience that she had. I really, really appreciate her joining me. She's got some really, really amazing things going on. We, like I said, we talk about her career from auditioning to being on the show and some of her favorite sketches. We talk about her time in a one-episode cameo, but a really big episode. I think it won an Emmy on Malcolm in the Middle, called If Boys Were Girls. It's a really monumental episode for sure, how they edited it. We talk about what she's up to these days. She actually has a podcast herself now where her co-hosts are her two cats, both a boy and a girl, both named Kevin. I really, really enjoy listening to her podcast. I do listen to it myself. And then we talk about that she's also started a music career. She's got several bands. I know that her kind of biggest one is a heavy metal band. So a lot covered, from the nostalgia of, learning about a show from my childhood to learning about kind of just the world of acting and how it's changed. Talking about her podcast and what inspired that, talking about the band. I think you're really, really going to enjoy this. And Lisa's a really, really great person. Here is Lisa Foyles. Mr. Foyles, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for agreeing to join me. I'm going to let you do the heavy lifting right out the gate. Just introduce yourself.
Well, just so you know, girl Kevin, my cat, is here, and you will hear a lot of meowing, as she does on my podcast all the time.
I've got questions about her later.
Yes. So. Oh, we have, they're here, both boy Kevin's over there. Of course, every time they sense a camera is rolling or a microphone turns on, they're like, we're there. Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Lisa Foyles. Most people know me from Nickelodeon's All That, although I've done a myriad of other things aside from that, but that's just my most well-known project. Obviously, it's a legacy Nickelodeon program. I mean, everybody watched All That. I watched All That growing up. I was a massive fan before I was able to join the show. I was on Even Stevens first, actually, and then an Emmy-winning episode of Malcolm in the Middle. Was on Leverage. I've been on other Nickelodeon shows like Game Shakers and Henry Danger, and I'm a singer and a host, and I do all the things. So yeah, and I host a podcast called Temperamental with Lisa Foyles, starring me and my cats, both named Kevin. So there you go.
I love it. And it means I did my research all right, because we're going to unpack most of what you just mentioned. So I want to kind of just start with the question I'm sure you've answered about 6 bajillion times, but how did you get your start in entertainment? What created that passion?
Yeah, so basically, as soon as I could walk, I danced. I love dancing. I love singing. I would just sing and dance around the house, to the point where my parents were like, okay, we got to get her in some kind of formal training if this is something she wants to do. So yeah, I started out in dance classes and very quickly went into competitive dance. So I was competing a lot. I was always on stage, and I just loved it. And I was very good at it. I mean, it was very rare that I didn't win a first place trophy. And that's not like I'm not trying to brag, it's just the way it was. I was a really talented kid, especially in dance. And one of my claims to fame in that circuit was I did a very difficult song and dance where I was tap dancing at a very high level and singing at the same time. So like talk about cardio. I don't know that I can do that now, but usually if somebody does a song and dance, they'll sing for a little bit and then they'll tap and then they'll sing and then they'll tap. I was doing it all together, all at the same time for the entire 3 minute song. And it just kind of blew people's minds. And eventually, because of that, the judges at that particular competition went up to my parents because I was living in Spokane, Washington at the time. And they came up to my parents and they're like, "Hey, she is a star. Like, she is talented, but you're never going to get anywhere in Spokane, Washington. So if you want her to pursue this path and she has this as a dream, you got to take her to Los Angeles." So that's what we did. God bless my parents. They're the best. They picked up everything and moved to just outside of Los Angeles, a place called Riverside. And just because it was really important to my parents that I still had a backyard and I still had a childhood and I wasn't just, in the concrete jungle of Los Angeles, like I actually had, a place, a backyard to run around and dogs and cats and, a real childhood while I was trying to pursue this very odd passion of mine. And yeah, as soon as I went to LA, I got hooked up with an agent. And she sent me on a couple, many auditions, and I eventually booked some commercials and then a pilot that I starred in, and then Even Stevens, and then the next big one was All That. So that's how it all started.
Man, were your parents, were they at all, into entertainment at all? Had they even started in the play? I always just think it's funny when, we've got two quiet accountants and they get thrown in your world, I guess, thrown like a spunky redheaded child ready to tap dance all over the place. So what
Oh
were your
yeah.
parents like?
Nope, I'm the only Foyles who does entertainment. Everybody else is
Yeah.
in sports. All my
Yeah.
cousins do sports. Like they love that world. My dad was a computer programmer. He's super nerd and loves sports. My mom was a stay-at-home mom and she always loved entertainment and she loved watching the Carol Burnett show and she's responsible for introducing me to a lot of those old comedies because she had such a passion for it. And she was very funny. Both of my parents were very funny, but not on a professional level. They're just funny humans. And we loved watching comedies. We were massive MST3K fans, like Mystery Science Theater fans. So that just kind of became our lifestyle. We'd watch MST where they sit and, make quips about old terrible movies. And then we just found ourselves doing that for everything. And so yeah, it was a whole new world for my parents. They had to like buy books. My mom was like reading books about how to like acting in film, like how to be an actor. Like literally, we were buying like Acting for Dummies books because we had no idea. And same with music. Nobody in my family is musically inclined. I get very jealous of my bandmates because a lot of them came from musical families and their dads taught them how to play guitar, their moms taught them how to sing or like whatever. And I'm a little envious of that because I do wish I came from more of a like I wish I grew up like jamming with my family. Like it would be really cool. But it was just me. Like I was the only one into all of this stuff. But that being said, my parents also had excellent taste. I think that's the difference is that they didn't do it themselves, but they had incredible taste. Like my dad's music taste was impeccable. He got me at a very early age, he got me hooked on all the greats. I mean, I was listening to Van Halen and Queen and Led Zeppelin. Like these were all my favorite bands as like a kid. I remember I'd listen to like Journey all the time, and that was before Journey like came back. Remember how like Journey was really popular in like the 80s or 70s, and then like nobody really cared about them for a while, and then I think like Scrubs like brought them back or something. Like they had a resurgence where everybody was singing "Don't Stop Believing," and now everywhere it's everywhere. So there's a period of time where like no one was listening to Journey. I think I was the only one. Like had these songs on repeat. So yeah, I didn't grow up in an entertainment family, but yeah, I'm the weirdo. So yeah.
It means that you really had that passion. You weren't just pushed into it. So I think that's a great thing. I want to kind of start in your acting when we talk about Even Stevens. I had Jim Wise on, it's probably been 2 years ago, which was Coach Tugnutt. So we talked a lot about Even Stevens, so we don't have to really hash too much of that out other than your individual experience. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was my first time being on a real TV show. And at the time, that we didn't have all these streaming services. There was pretty much two channels that kids watched, and it was Nickelodeon and there was Disney. There's also Cartoon Network, but for like live action TV shows for kids, you had Nickelodeon and you had Disney. And pretty much when you were an actor and you landed roles, you were either a Disney kid or a Nickelodeon kid. And growing up, as a viewer, I was totally a Nickelodeon kid. Like, I was addicted to Nickelodeon. I watched everything from Hey Dude to all the early All That seasons to Clarissa to like everything. Salute Your Shorts, everything. I was obsessed. I still watch Disney, but it like not as much. I don't know, Lizzie McGuire never really connected with me. I was also homeschooled, so a lot of these shows about like growing up in school, like they didn't really apply to me because I'm like, I don't have that experience. So, but I did like Even Stevens. I thought it was the wackiest one just because Shia was so over the top and silly. So I really liked his character. So when I booked Disney, I thought, all right, this is it. I'm a Disney kid. Like, okay, I guess I'm on the Disney Channel because you don't go back and forth really. Like, every kid stays where they are. They don't cross battle line. But yeah, it was my first real TV show. The only significant thing I'd done before that was a pilot. It was a starring role in a pilot. But again, it was much lower budget. It wasn't a studio. We were independently making it. So just to be at such a high level was such a good experience that I think lent to the professionalism I was able to adopt going on to do All That and all these other shows. My mom always made sure I was very respectful and that I learned everybody's names. And that gets a lot harder when you're working with a lot more people. So suddenly I'm on a set and there's four people in the hair and makeup tent instead of one. And there's six people working wardrobe instead of one. And it's just like there's so many people. And but same thing, my mom was like, you learn everybody's names, you shake all their hands, you tell them thank you, you be respectful and remember that. They all want to go home to their families, that you are not the star and you will never be the star. You are a working actor, just like these people are working. So make sure you nail it, know your lines, get on set, do your job so everybody can go home. And that always, always stuck with me. And that's why I always try to show up on every set as absolutely as prepared as I possibly can. I'm not there to waste anybody's time. I'm there to get the job done. So that was my first real taste of that. And it was awesome. I mean, Christy was so sweet to us. Shia was so funny. Shia was just all over the place. Like, I think we talked to him a little bit, but he was just like riding skateboards around the set, like running over here and running over there. He was like a crazy kid. I mean, we're all kids, but he was super funny. And yeah, it was awesome. But I gotta say, I was so happy when I booked All That and I kind of morphed into a Nickelodeon kid because that's really where I felt at home. I always felt that Nickelodeon was my network. And yeah, again, love Disney, but man, I'm happy to be a Nick kid.
I like that. And I if you want to, I guess, hear my shocked about the going from Nickelodeon to Disney and back and forth, you'd have to listen to the episode with Lori Beth Denberg, because she had kind of the opposite thing that just blew my mind, where her All That seasons were filmed in Orlando, and after filming almost every night, she said she went to Disney World and watch the fireworks. I was like, is that allowed? Are you allowed to do that? Or did they take your paycheck away from you?
Oh,
But
don't get me
no.
wrong. I love Disneyland and the Disney parks is a totally different thing. But I think when you're actually a working actor and you're showing up to red carpet events, like you either are representing Nickelodeon or you're representing Disney.
No, for sure. So let's kind of move into how you were casted in All That. What did that look like? It was already a kind of a legacy show. It was something that was already had already been big in the past. It was kind of a unique thing where I think they had taken like a year break or a little bit longer when you joined the cast. So what did that look like?
Yeah, they were filming in Florida, and then they decided to move the show to Nick on Sunset in Los Angeles. And it was the longest, most involved audition process I've ever been a part of. I mean, they did a nationwide search for this brand new cast. For the longest time, they would try to keep, you have the original members, the OG members, you have Katrina Johnson and Elisa Reyes and Keenan and Kel and Even Amanda Bynes, I think didn't come until season two or three. So you have Josh Server, obviously. Danny Tamborelli came in a little bit later. So you kind of had this core group of kids, and then they kind of just kept switching out and switching out. Some got a little too old to be on the show, so then they replaced with somebody younger. And then it was just like SNL, it was kind of an ever-changing cast of kids. But the network decided it was time for a totally clean slate. They wanted a brand new cast of like young kids for the new generation. And they did a nationwide search. And so there was a lot of cattle calls, I think around the US. I don't think people were doing auditions on tape at that time. So I think there were like actual places to audition, like around the US. And I was obviously already in LA, so I was able to go to that. And that first audition was just insane. There's so many kids there. I had to wait in line for so long. Everybody's chaotic. I mean, just imagine, like, obviously, the Nickelodeon energy is over the top chaos. And while I'm able to turn that on camera, and I mean, I still can and I still do. And as a kid, I was able, like, as soon as you get me in front of that camera, like, I'll bring the energy. I was actually a very quiet kid. In fact, I was so quiet. I never really spoke a word in the dance classes that I was in California. I just didn't really felt like I fit in with the other kids. I was new to California. They were all already friends with each other. So I was just very, very quiet for years at this dance studio. So when those kids found out I landed all that, they were like, "What? Like that girl who just like doesn't talk to anyone? Like what's going on?" So I was very overwhelmed at the first couple rounds of auditions because it was just these high energy kid actors and some non-actors just bouncing off the walls. And I was like super overwhelmed, just trying to focus on my monologue and focus on my script. So for the auditions, we had to do we had to write our own monologue, and that monologue needed to contain three different characters. And then there was a script that we read from called Crazy Terry. And then we also just did like a basic Q&A with the producers. And so it was kind of a three-part audition process. And yeah, so I was just very overwhelmed by all the other kids. I'm like, oh my gosh, like all these kids deserve to be on Nickelodeon. Do I? Like they're so hyper and crazy. Like that's totally the Nickelodeon style. But again, as soon as I step in front of the camera, like I turn it on and I'm a professional and I totally nailed my audition. I got called back and I got called back again. And I called back again, and then every callback, there's just less and less and less kids. So we got to, I think, the seventh callback, and that was the final callback. And it was narrowed down to, I want to say, 10 kids, and they needed seven. And they made it very clear that they only needed seven. So it was either 10 or 12. I can't remember what the very last pool of us was, but again, I just sat in the corner. Like I didn't really. I remember Chelsea and Jack were like hanging out, and like Shane was there, and obviously these kids would soon become my best friends. But at the time, they were just kids I was competing against, and they were all laughing and having fun in the lobby, and I was just sitting there in the corner, just going over my script. But yeah, nailed the final audition, and it was weeks after that that they let us know who landed the show. And I just remember that phone call and how excited I was and showing up on day one and meeting all the other kids. In fact, I was the last kid to show up, which is very weird because I'm usually like embarrassingly early for everything. Yeah, there's fashionably late and then there's me, which is embarrassingly early. Usually I'm the first person on every set, but for some reason that first day, when we were all meeting each other for the first time, I was the last kid to show up. So I like walked through the door and I got to see all six of the other kids, and I'm like, all right, like this is it, this is my fam, like this is, we're all in this together. It was just awesome.
Wow, that is awesome. And we've got you to your first day. So you already talked about how you had watched the show growing up. Maybe it made it a little bit easier given that it was a whole new cast. You weren't thrust into, a well-oiled machine already, but was there any pressure there? You knew that it had been a popular show in the past, and there probably is a little bit of pressure to make sure that this is at least lives up to expectations.
Oh, totally. And I still deal with that, right? Like in comments, like I still will post a clip from one of my seasons, and I'll get a handful of people like, yeah, you guys weren't as good as the OG. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, then you're not the right age, because most of the fans of my seasons didn't watch the original seasons. They don't really know. They only watched us. And that was the whole point of getting a whole new cast, was for the new generation of kids. So we have our own fan base, and all of us brought something different to the table. But I even remember that first day we all met in the schoolroom. I remember already Jack was like, okay, you're the new Amanda Bynes, and I'm the new Josh Server, and like, you're the new Danny Tamborelli. Like, he was already like assigning, like, who are you, who are you, who are you, because we were all such massive fans of the original cast. And we all knew there were really big shoes to fill, but we wanted to make sure that we brought our own energy and our own spin to it. And we're just trying to do a good job, really. I mean, it's scary, right? Like, just the seven of us are carrying the show. Usually when you're a kid and you book a sitcom, you have other adults that you're acting with. You're playing a daughter or a son, and you have a family, and there's a, it was just us. Like, every sketch was like just us, the occasional adult guest star, but it's just us. So we were pretty successful right off the bat, because again, well, first of all, we didn't have the internet, really. So we didn't have message boards of angry people saying, screw these guys, we missed the original cast. We didn't really have to deal with that. Didn't have a lot of feedback. But our ratings are good, and we had our own fans, and we'd go to these publicity events and walk red carpets, and we were mobbed by kids everywhere we went. I remember I couldn't even go to the mall. It's like I just got recognized everywhere I went. And again, I was a quiet kid that kind of kept to myself, and I was homeschooled. I didn't go to school with other kids, and I really liked my privacy. So going to the mall and like having kids, watch me and look at me and point at me and come up to me and like tackle me, like, it was very weird. But my mom was very adamant that I'm kind to every fan forever, forever. She just was. I mean, again, I was 14, 13, 14 during that first season when we really blew up and we had all these fans, and she's kept saying to me, she's like, in a few years, these kids won't care about you, in a very nice way. But she was like, these people care about you right now, and you bring them happiness right now. Nothing lasts forever. In 10 years, these kids might not care about you. You might have no fans, and you'll wish this was your life, and you'll wish that you were kind to every kid that enjoyed your work. Again, like, just great words of wisdom. And so to this day, I just really try to spend time talking to everybody who recognizes me, anybody who enjoyed my work. I would, back in the day, I sent signed headshots to like everybody who wrote me fan mail. I would sit there in my house for hours signing headshots. God bless my parents. They would just send those out to every kid who wrote me fan mail. Insane, dude. But it was important. It was really important to us and my parents and to me. And I'm really glad. I'm really, really glad that we did that.
No, I think that's important to keep you grounded and make sure that you turned into the person that you are now. So I like that for sure. I want to we've got a lot to cover. We're moving quick. I want to just now ask you again, probably a question that you get a lot, but on the show, what are some of the sketches that maybe I don't know if I want to say favorite, but maybe that you enjoyed the most?
I mean, Sugar and Coffee's up there. Everybody loves Sugar and Coffee. That was the one where we just got to be as insane as possible, bouncing off the walls, literally bouncing on trampolines, getting to do crazy, it's messy. It was messy. It was high energy. It was fun. We got to scream. We got to dump sugar and coffee on people, or sugar and flat coke, I'll say. And so that's one that stands out. Slumber Party changed my life. I played the goth girl Claudia on Slumber Party, and that was sort of a joke, kind of a practical joke by the writers, because I was like this little innocent ray of sunshine, like little innocent Lisa Foyles, just pigtails and happiness and positivity. It was totally me. I just would try to brighten everybody's day all the time. I was like Dee Dee from Dexter's Laboratory. I was just like so joyful. And so they're like, what if we turn her into a really irritated goth girl? So genius on their part. So I was playing very against type for Claudia, and but I loved it, like a very deadpan, creepy girl wearing, black clothes, totally Hot Topic'd out with the black wig and the nose ring, totally opposite my personality. But I loved playing Claudia so much, and they let me keep so much of the wardrobe at the end of each season that sooner or later I just kept actually wearing it and kind of turning more goth myself. And now I sing in a metal band and I wear skeleton outfits. And it's just so funny how Claudia really sunk in more than I ever would have imagined. But yeah, and then Together Forever is another one with Jack DeSena. One of my all-time favorites because of the physical comedy involved in that. We really did. We tried to always do it in one take, and then we had this physical stunt where we were sitting at school desks, and we're the perfect couple and we're having a great time and we love each other, but then we start bickering and then we start screaming, and then my signature move is I would launch out of my chair, tackle Jack out of his chair onto the floor. Crazy physical move. They had a big mat on the other side. Obviously, we're dealing with desks and chairs, and they have legs, and there's metal rods sticking everywhere. But coming from a dance background, I was very conscious of my body and able to perform a lot of physical stunts just naturally, because again, I just danced my whole life. And yeah, one of my favorite sketches. Love those. So those three probably top for me.
Yeah, well, we've got to ask you the flip side, and I gotta do a little callback just so people check out other episodes. But Lori Beth said her least favorite was Loud Librarian, which is one of the most popular ones because she was always afraid she was going to hurt somebody when she was throwing stuff around. So she had to be very, mindful of everything she was doing. So what's some of your least favorite ones that you had to do, or ones that maybe you just wouldn't choose to do again if you
Oh
didn't
my
have
gosh,
to?
that's a good question. No one ever asked me that question. What is my least favorite? Oh, I didn't like Tilt-A-Hurl. It was the worst one. I hated it so much. So Tilt-A-Hurl, I think we only did for 2 seasons, but basically Kyle was like a new hire for a carny at a carnival, and the carny was this disgusting dude played by Jeremy Rowley, incredible actor. You would recognize him if you saw him. He played, gosh, what was his Lubert on iCarly, and he was on our show a ton, and he does Progressive commercials. He's from the Groundlings. He's insanely talented. He was always like our go-to adult guest star. Like anytime we needed a funny adult, it would be him. And basically they were working at a roller coaster, and Kyle was super excited to start his first day. And then they'd look up at the roller coaster and Jeremy would go, "Here come the loopity loop," and then vomit would fall on everybody's heads. So
Ugh.
whenever you had to guest star on Tilt-A-Hurl, you knew that you were going to get vomited on. And the concoction obviously was safe. It was not vomit. It was like a mixture of like pudding and whatever else they put in there. Similar to the stuff they use in slime, tapioca pudding, chunks of whatever. It was all very safe and edible, but it was still just, it looked like barf and it was messy and it dropped on your head and it was gross and slimy. I hated that sketch.
Well,
Very
that, I
funny
mean,
sketch, but man, I did not like it.
I think that's understandable for sure. And I want
Yeah.
to kind of get to the audience now, and I'm sure you still deal with it now. You dealt with it back then. Maybe it means more to you at this point, but this show is something that got people through a lot of different things. There's people, kids back then that had rough home lives, and it was a reprieve for that hour on Saturday night to watch and to laugh at all that. So is that something I'm sure that people tell you even now? And what's that, what has that meant to you that you've shaped some childhoods?
Oh, totally. It really means a lot to me when people say that I was able to brighten their childhood and I made them laugh. Like that's really all I want to do in life. It's still all I want to do. I just want to make people smile and make people laugh. I never go too deep. I never go political, like any of that stuff in any of my content. All my content is very light and silly and fun. Even my podcast, Temperamental, is PG. Like it's anytime I curse accidentally, I'll bleep it. Like I keep the topics very light and silly. Like I just want people to know, like if you come to me for any content, it's gonna be way less stressful than anything else. You're gonna watch that. Get done watching the news, you're stressed out, come watch an episode of Temperamental. It'll be complete silliness. But even speaking about Claudia, I've had a handful, more than a handful, of girls especially commenting on my posts saying, I was the first alt girl they ever saw on TV, which is insane to think about. But yeah, I mean, way back in the day, I don't know how many goth characters were featured in shows in the late 90s and the early 2000s, but I was definitely a prominent one. And for me, I was just playing a really fun character, but I didn't realize, I realize now that I was helping represent this community. A lot of girls who like felt very different, and they did dress like that, and they did have the nose ring, and they had the Hot Topic getup, and they felt like outsiders because it wasn't cool back then, and it was you were the minority. And here I was, the coolest character in the whole sketch. Like, Claudia's the best character in that sketch. You know, it's called Bridget's Slumber Party, but I'm the funny one. You know, they're also very funny, but like, you watch that sketch for Claudia because she's such a dark force in this happy, colorful world. So to get those comments specifically, those mean the most. They're like, hey, Claudia made me laugh, but she also made me realize I can be like that. I can dress like that. I can be like Claudia. Like, she represented me. And I think that's so awesome. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think all that did a really good job of highlighting, different kinds of people. That was the same thing that I had heard in the past, where Lori Beth had talked about how she was one of the first people. She got a lot of comments like, people that look like me, when it comes to body image, normally aren't on TV. So I felt seen. So I think that's really cool. It's not something I'd even thought about with Claudia, but I really like that a lot. So I want to ask you now, just kind of in wrapping up the all that thing is, there obviously there's been documentaries come out about it. There's been people that say they didn't have a great experience. I don't necessarily want to dwell on those type of things, but I do want you just to kind of mention, your thoughts with that and kind of the overall experience that you had.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to tell everybody that those 4 years were the best 4 years of my life. And sometimes I feel guilty saying that because I have kids and a husband. And yes, raising you and birthing you and marrying you, like all these, hey, family, yes, being, these years I've spent with you are very special. But gosh, those 4 years on All That were so formative and fun and life-changing. And I just had an absolute blast. I always felt safe on the set. My parents were always there. It was for me, it was a really good, fun, safe, healthy environment. And from my experience, and I love my fam from that show. I love my cast members. I think we all worked really hard, and I hope people can still, regardless of the media and whatever anybody says, like, I really still hope that our fans of our seasons can look back on our episodes fondly. Like, the worst are when people leave a comment and they're like, I feel so, now that I know about these dark things that happened, I just feel really guilty that I watched you guys and that I was laughing at your comedy. No, don't feel that way, please. Like, we wanted to make you laugh. I want you to look back fondly. I want you to be happy that we made you happy. Like, I'm so proud of us and the work we did. And I would do it all over again, honestly. Like, I mean, the show went 10 years. Obviously, they rebooted it in 2019, but just to be a part of that history, growing up loving Kenan and Kel and Danny Tamborelli and Josh Server and Alisa and Katrina, like, and Amanda, like, loving all of these people and then getting to step into their shoes and contribute to this amazing show is just like the best time of my life. It's changed everything. It completely changed my life, and it still continues to do so. And I'm so thankful. I'd do it all again.
I love that. I appreciate you sharing that for sure. I want to get into your podcast. We don't have time to talk about Malcolm in the Middle. I just want you at the end to say, yeah. So you were on Malcolm in the Middle for one episode. If Boys Were Girls, it was an amazing episode. It was Emmy winning. Everyone should definitely check out that episode, right?
Yes, it was, yeah, Emmy for editing, I believe.
Yeah,
Because I
it
played the
was.
female version of Malcolm. It was the Valentine's Day episode, and Lois was pregnant, and she didn't know if she was having a girl or a boy. So she's wondering, what would it be like to have all girls instead of all boys? So during the episode, the boys kept morphing into girls, and I was the female Malcolm, And even though I only got to be on one episode, because obviously a character like that cannot recur because it was a one-time special, it was an iconic episode. And a lot of people tell me it was their favorite episode of the show ever. So it was really cool to be a part of that particular episode of that show. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I recommend people go check out your episode of your podcast where you go into detail with it. So let's talk
Oh,
about
yeah, I forgot that
you
I did that.
did, you did. So let's start talking about Temperamental. Tell us a little bit about the podcast. And this is where we're going to start talking about the two Kevins here in a second.
Yes, so my podcast is it started out, I wanted it to be very Wayne's World. I wanted it to just be chaos and ridiculousness, and that's exactly what it is. It's just me and my two cats, both named Kevin. It's 30 minutes. I call it a short drive podcast, because you get some of these podcasts that are like 2 hours long. And I'm like, who has time to listen to a 2 hour podcast? Most people I know are in the car for 30 minutes every day, to and from work, whatever. I'm like, okay, I got a short drive podcast. Here's 30 minutes. It's insanity. It's silliness. It's cats. And I'll usually throw in some behind the scenes, all that stories that no one's ever heard before. And I'll show pictures from behind the scenes that I've never shown anyone before. So I kind of do both, and I tell great stories. Again, I every once in a while I'll do a special, right? So every day or every week it's a 30-minute episode, but every once in a while I'll do a little bit longer one that's like about 45 minutes or so, and I'll do a deep dive into one thing. So I did a sugar and coffee special where I talked all about sugar and coffee, every sketch that we did of sugar and coffee, all the guest stars, what the coffee was made of, what the process was filming it, how I choked on the sugar all the time and didn't figure it out till the very last season. I did a deep dive into Claudia, into the slumber party sketch. I just did Harry Blatter. We did a Harry Potter spinoff called Harry Blatter. And looking back at it now, it's so fascinating because we filmed the sketches before the movies came out. So obviously we had the books as references for the characters. But we hadn't seen the movie because the movie came out in November. We were filming earlier that summer, and then our episodes debuted the following January. So it's just so fascinating to go back and look at those sketches, knowing that we didn't. I was playing Hermione, a parody of Hermione. I'd never seen Emma Watson act. We had press photos. And then I had people in the comments who were like, oh, you probably had a bunch of trailers to watch. I'm like, first of all, the internet was not what it was back then, what it is today. Like, we couldn't just Google the trailer and then watch. We have YouTube. Like, you maybe caught it on TV if there was a teaser. Again, this was the summer and the movie didn't come out till November, so maybe there was a couple teaser trailers, but that's not enough to like really study a character, study Emma Watson's mannerisms, become Hermione. It wasn't enough. So we just tried our best, but it's just interesting that we were one of the first TV shows to parody Harry Potter. It's pretty cool. So I did a deep dive into that, and obviously Keenan was a guest star on that as Principal Pimpel. And then yeah, I did a deep dive into the Malcolm in the Middle episode, which is, you'd think being on one episode of one TV show wouldn't be that fascinating, but I have so much to talk about. Like, I couldn't believe how much I had to talk about in, like, Jeanette McCurdy being the female Dewey, and obviously everybody knows Jeanette now from iCarly. But that was like one of her first big roles, and she was like my little sister in real life, and even though she was on the show. So yeah, I'm just finding that I have so much more to say about all of these sketches that no one knows about, that for me, they're just memories that live rent-free in my mind. But I'm like, I think it's time that I finally like tell all these stories that I didn't know if anybody'd be interested, but people are very interested and people are really enjoying it. So I'm gonna keep doing it.
No, I enjoy it very much. I just listened to that the Harry Blatter episode, and I just thought it was funny that you just mentioned that no one really knew how the actors were going to be in the actual movie, and that they put you in a wig, but you really looked more like her and your natural hair. They didn't need to do all that. Who would have known? But I thought that was
They
kind
did
of
not.
funny.
Yeah, they did not. Like, my natural hair was kind of this reddish brown that was usually pretty fluffy and poofy, and it looked like Emma's in the first movie, but for some reason they wanted us all to have wigs. In almost every sketch they wanted us to have wigs because then we were not ourselves. They wanted to, suspend the reality or whatever. So they put me in this like heinous wig. It was like a crime against humanity. It was a terrible wig. It looked
Yeah.
nothing like Hermione's. And they fixed it eventually. Like by the second sketch, I had a better wig, but that first wig was so bad.
My favorite part of the episodes is just your conversations. I don't know how else to put it. Your conversations with your cats and them being a co-star. You even got a microphone for them.
Oh, I got girl Kevin here.
You got so the first
Oh,
question I
cute,
have to
cute.
ask, and I hope I'm not breaking any hearts, or are they really boy Kevin and girl Kevin? Are their real
They are.
names both boy and girl Kevin? What do you
Well, their
call
names
them?
are, well, no, their real names are Kevin, right?
Yeah.
I just call them boy Kevin and girl Kevin to separate it for the internet, for those who
Well, how
need to know.
do they have an existential crisis at home? They don't know who to come when you call Kevin?
Usually I change it so like Kevin will get girl Kevin and like Kevin will get like boy Kevin. It's kind of like I change the intonation a little bit. But usually I just say Kevin and they both come running. Not that I need them ever. Like when do I need to call them? They just are pieces of furniture that just live in my house. Like they have food anytime they want and water. I don't need them. I don't call them to set. They just hear me setting up and then they run downstairs to the set. It's so
Yeah.
stupid. Like I don't know if they've trained me or I've trained them, but like they now know when I start setting up the camera and turning on the big lights that they're like, oh, it's podcast time. And then they just jump on the set and sometimes I'll feed them a little treats. And yeah, we've had some of like the funniest moments of these. Yeah, one time they straight up just started fighting like on the set and they're like whacking
Yeah.
each other, like, stop it. Like, this is so disrespectful. No, but they're great.
Well, it works. They're they don't say much, but they're a big part of the podcast. So I like that. And I've got to ask, just because I worry about boy Kevin, is he still eating Kleenexes?
He is still eating Kleenexes. Yes. I was wondering if I had one handy, but he didn't eat them last night. Yeah, I don't know what his deal is, man. I don't know. I'm worrying about him. He's just like he just sits next to my because I have terrible allergies, so I have to have Kleenexes next to me at all times. In the middle of the night, he'll just jump up and start eating the Kleenex. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, I feed you nice food. Like, you're fat. Like, you're not starving. You don't need this. Knock it off.
At least it's right out of the box. My dog, the nasty part, he'll eat a Kleenex after it's been used. You know, sometimes when I'm in bed and I use a Kleenex and I put it on the nightstand, oh, that's
Oh
a
yeah.
treat for him. So
Oh, it's so gross. Yeah,
at
okay.
least
That's
it's a
fair. At
new
least he's
one.
eating fresh cream.
Exactly. So in wrapping things up, because you haven't already, you're not already doing enough, let's talk briefly about your music career. You live in Las Vegas, so you've been able to kind of use that and do some residencies. You've got a band. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I mean, if you remember from my earlier story, I started on stage. That's where it all began, was being on stage and having the rush of that live audience. I moved to being more on camera, but again, all that was like a perfect marriage of being on camera, but then also the live audience. So it was like theater meets TV. It was perfect. So I've always loved being in front of a live audience, and I've always loved singing. I was a trained opera singer when I was younger. And yeah, now it's just full circle. Honestly, the jobs are just not as there's just not as many acting jobs as there used to be. And that's every actor across the board will tell you that. It's just the way it is. We have AI, like we have they'll hire celebrities for everything. If you're just a basic working actor, it's very hard to find work. And it's just that's just happened over the last like 10 years. Everything's just gone downhill for that. So I'm not one to just sit around and wait for the phone to ring. I'm an entertainer and that's what I do. And I want to make people happy and I'm not just going to wait for the next audition to come. So I'm like, let's do this. Let's get back into music. Let's go back to my roots. Let's be on stage. That's an art that will never die unless they really perfect holograms. But like, you're always going to need live music. You're always going to need live performing. AI can take a lot of my jobs, but they can't take that. Especially not with the way I am on stage and the way I work an audience and my stage presence and my crowd control. Like it's something I really enjoy doing. And I sing in a metal band, I sing in a rock and roll band, I sing in a country club band, like all different genres of music. And I just absolutely love it. I love it so much. I mean, honestly, like there's a acting is my first love, but you know, I honestly I would take some of these live performances over like a commercial shoot, and he did. They're such a blast. So yes, I'm in Vegas. I perform all over the place at all these venues. If you're in town, just my Instagram has everything. My Instagram has all of the info. It will always tell you where I'm at, where I'm performing, what I'm doing. So just follow me there, and that's where you'll get all the info.
Yeah, well, I think we could chat for a lot longer, but I want to wrap things up, and you put a nice little bow on it right there. So tell people how they can follow along with you, how they can check out the podcast, follow along to your Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Shout out all your connection points.
Yes, I meant for the podcast to be a Spotify podcast, but let me tell you, people are way more into the YouTube version.
So how I've
So yeah,
watched it.
my podcast is the audio version can be found on any podcast platform. The video is on Spotify, but mostly people watch it on YouTube. But it's just Lise Foyles, YouTube/Lise Foyles, whatever. Yeah, Temperamental's on there, and then Instagram is where I'm the most active. So if you want to talk to me, leave a comment on something on Instagram, and I will reply. Usually I'll reply. Yeah, but that's about it. Instagram, YouTube, I'm on Facebook. I don't really do TikTok. I don't really mess with that. I'm not on Snapchat. So yeah, just find me on Instagram. That's where I'm at.
I love it. Well, I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. It's been great chatting with you.
So that was Lisa Foyles. Really enjoyed the conversation. I had so many amazing people on. It's almost impossible to pick any favorites, but I can tell you definitely one of my favorite genres is when I get to speak with people from my childhood and kind of relive that time and learn a little bit about the behind the scenes of some of my favorite shows growing up, and all that was certainly one of them. So I really, really appreciate you, Lisa, for coming on and providing some of that behind the scenes. I urge you to check out her podcast, Temperamental. Really, really great. It is shorter than this one. It's a great drive time podcast when you're heading to work, whether you're listening to it. I would urge you to check out the YouTube video. I like watching it. Just the antics with her cat sometimes is not audio, but visual. So I think that's good. Maybe don't watch it while you're driving, but maybe when you're getting ready. I really, really enjoy Temperamental. So urge you to check that out. Check out her band if you're ever in Vegas. She's got several different projects, I've listened to different clips of her singing. Definitely a great thing there. She talks about it in the podcast too. I was just in Vegas a week or two ago. Weren't able to line up exactly when one of her shows were, but definitely going to check it out if times ever do line up. Go follow along with her. All the links to everything Lisa Foyles will be in the show notes. Go follow along with this podcast if you haven't already. Subscribe, follow along on Apple and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating on both platforms. Helps a ton. Leave a written review on Apple. Helps a ton as well. Follow along on Facebook, Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Follow along on TikTok and Instagram, Not in a Huff Podcast. Lots of places to make sure you don't miss the next episode. But really, really appreciate Lisa's time. Thank you for being here as well. We'll catch you next week. Take it away, Chris.
This has been Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time where we will interview another amazing guest who is sure to make you laugh or make you think. Or, hey, maybe even both. But until then, keep being awesome.